Du hjertelig velkommen til denne podcasten med Voss Bønnehus. Her finner du viktig undervisning fra Bønnehuset og våre Outcry-konferanser.
Thank you so much, Brian, for being here. Brian, he is a good friend of mine. Maybe he can come on the screen, I don't know. Brian, I met Brian 11 years ago in Mozambique. We were on the same team, on a missions team, on a mission trip. And Brian and me and my sister and Thor, a good friend of mine, we became really good friends. And yeah, it was really great to get to know Brian. And I visited Brian and his wife, and then they had two children. Now they have four. In 2012, outside Mechanicsburg in Pennsylvania. And Brian, he is really carrying a message for our time and for the people who pray. Mm-hmm. And Brian has a value for the secret place. So in seeking God and coming in front of Him and just worshiping Him and seeking His face. Brian, he's a pastor, and he also has this ministry called Faith Like Birds, traveling around the U.S., and also he's been here in Voss. So, Brian, thank you so much for coming. It's all yours. So, I just want to bless Brian now, and I bless the people listening. We pray for that you, God, will open our hearts to what Brian is carrying today, and that it will be released into Norway, into Bergen, into Voss, God. Oh, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you will stir up consecration inside of us. Oh, what you want us to do in this hour, these 40 days of consecration, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, buddy. Yeah, guys, I am excited to be here. I just want to say hi to everybody in Voss, everybody that's in Bergen. I didn't want that worship to stop. I was like screen recording it with my phone, like getting ready to send it to people. So ladies, thank you so much for just carrying a heart that loves the Lord. And I really believe, guys, that when we touch His heart, we see His hand move. And I am very blessed by the direction that you guys are going in, you know, in the prayer house. In fact, when I was kind of chuckling to myself because I'm like, I'm not going to tell you anything that you guys don't already know. I feel like you're doing what the Spirit of God's been talking to me about the last few weeks. So before we get started, I'm in my basement. So if you see like kids' toys, you know, pictures on the wall, you know, things like that, it's because it's pretty much their play area, but it's the one area in the house where I can have some kind of sanctuary. There's a good chance you might hear them come home from school in a little bit. And if you do, don't worry about it. We'll just keep going because I believe the Lord is, guys. Oh, there are times where forgive me if I get emotional. There are times where, as Øystein said, he and I did a wonderful podcast together the other day, and I was making mention of the fact that one of my favorite things to do, and I don't mean for it to sound cliche, but it is truly the heartbeat of my life, is to know Jesus. It's to be like Him in every way. It's to cherish the Holy Spirit. To hunger and thirst for Him. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life. Not that you and I would one day be in heaven. Of course, that's part of it. There's an imperishable inheritance that's waiting for us. 1 Peter says, you know, there's a place that Jesus is building for us. It says in John 14, but the essence and true heartbeat of eternal life is a relationship without end. Eternal life is knowing Jesus Christ and God the Father. So when I go and I get alone with the Lord, I'm not looking for a sermon. Jesus is the sermon. I am sitting with Him because I just want to be with Him. And I believe when I behold Him, I become like Him. I believe my face is a mirror for what it is that I look upon. And now more than ever, guys, people need to see the reflection of Jesus in our face. In 2 Corinthians 3, Paul beautifully states, now we in this beautiful covenant where our sins are no longer remembered, where our right standing with God is not on the basis of deeds or works, but it is on the basis of faith in the finished work of Jesus. Now, because of that wonderful covenant, we all with an unveiled face. Guys, that means this. There is a contrast between the covenant that Moses was a part of, that Israel was a part of, and the glory that we now enter into in the new covenant. And guys, if Moses' face had shown to the extent that he had to cover it because of the glory, then our faces, guys, should be shining. Like we should be like Stephen in Acts chapter 6, where it says he was full of the Spirit, full of faith, full of wisdom, moving in signs and wonders, and his face was like that of an angel. And I believe you radiate what it is that you behold. That's why Matthew 6 says, if your eye is single, guys, if we make this about one thing and one thing alone, if we put away the distractions, guys, if we let go of all the peripheral stuff that wanted to come in and be the point over this last year, and we make it about Jesus, if we just make it about beholding him, our body then is flooded with light, and what's in you guys is going to come out of you. And I want people when they're around me to feel glory. I want people when they look in my eyes, the eye is the lamp of the body. I want them to see Jesus waving at them when they look in my eyes. I want to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. Guys, I feel like I'm ruined for this one thing. There's nothing else anymore that I concern over this last year. There's nothing else I've concerned myself with more than positioning myself that I might walk in more than what I'm currently walking in. Guys, I want to walk with a constant awareness of God. I want to treat the Holy Spirit as the most precious person that there ever was. I want to have a nearness to him. I want my life to attract him. I want my words to bless him. I want the things I think about, what's in my heart, to be the landing strip for his presence in my life. And guys, I believe with all of my heart, God is calling us into something deep. And I believe consecration is the word. Dedication is the word. Guys, I believe we are going to see a greater level of surrender than we've ever seen before. The Christian life is never once has been, never will be lived out of our strength. It's lived out of our yieldedness to God. It's lived out of our surrender. And I believe we're going to become aware of areas in our life that we thought were surrendered or areas we were completely unaware of that God is wanting us to surrender. I believe where we are going into this next season, things of our past season can't come along with us. There may have been things, guys, that as we're maturing in faith, as we're growing in the Lord, there may have been things that were permissible for you in your past season that the Lord is saying coming into what he's wanting to pour out, what he's wanting us to carry. Guys, I am telling you, this path is about to get more narrow. Jesus said, wide is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way. And I have found that the longer you walk with Jesus, the more narrow this thing gets. And that means not everybody is on that path with us, but it also means there's more of us that needs to die in the process. I have learned that so many people are willing to come to the cross and not everybody's wanting to get on it. I have learned that people will give just enough of their life to Jesus so that they can still, in their own way, stay alive. And it's just not going to work anymore. Guys, there's a pure river of the Spirit that's flowing, that's demanding every ounce of us, that's demanding the surrender of our entire being. I've found there's a lot of people that want their eternity to be secure, but they don't want their today to be surrendered. They come to him when it all goes south, when life happens, when circumstances go awry, but they don't want to honor him when everything is going right. There are people that will come to him just to get their needs met, but they don't want to deny themselves entirely. In fact, I want to take us to a place in scripture. There's going to be a couple places we're going to jump around to, but I want us to look in John chapter 12 here really quick, because this is what I'm finding out, guys. The door, the gate to getting where I believe God is calling us to be, guys, is surrender. It's death to self. So when I was saying earlier about how the secret place, my alone time with the Lord, is probably the most precious thing to me, there are times where, and I'm not looking for it, the Spirit of the Lord will come and he'll give me like a prophetic pulse, a prophetic sense of where it is we are, what's going on in the body of Christ. And it's clearly not limited to America. Seeing how you guys are responding gives me so much hope. I told my senior pastor, my best friend, I said, Adam, they're doing what the Spirit of God's been talking to me about. So it so blesses me to see how you guys are positioning yourself in this season, in this hour, and for me to come and breathe life like on top of that and to cheer you on and be an encouragement. But I was sitting in my basement. There's a chair over to my right. You can't see it. It's where I will sit and be with the Lord. And there was a day a few weeks ago, we're going to look at this story here in a moment, just hang out in John 12, where the Lord directed me to Exodus 19. And there was something there. You guys are going to be familiar with it when we turn there, where God has delivered Israel out of Egypt. God is bringing Israel to himself. Guys, God will always first bring you to him because he has to be the point. Guys, God has priorities. This is the first and greatest commandment, that we would love him with all of our heart. And I believe those of us that have been walking with him, it is our delight to love him. Like when I pray, I'm like, God, that's all I want to do. I want to do that more. I want to love you more. When I pray for my girls at night, my four girls at night, it's Lord, I pray that they would love you with every fiber of their being. Why? Because when we get that, guys, everything else falls into place. When I love him, when I see him for who he is, when I become aware of what it is he's accomplished, what he wants to give, our inheritance, it causes me, guys, come on, he's coming back for a bride that makes herself ready. God is looking for people that will give, looking for a bride that will give herself to him in the same way that Jesus gave himself to her. And the only love that makes sense to the Lord is first love. The only thing that makes sense to God is total abandonment. Because even Jesus said, I did not come to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. I can do nothing lest I see the Father do it. My teaching is not my own. Jesus modeled absolute dependence and on the Father and surrender, abandonment of his own life. He had a will. He could have made choices in his own best interest. What he said was, my Father's will is greater than mine. I long to do his will more than I long to see mine carried out. Guys, I believe the Lord's bringing us into that place where we are going to go lower than we've ever gone before. When we say, God, it's not enough. I have to have more. And I want to talk about the key, I believe, of how we get there. But I was sitting in my chair and I was reading this account in Exodus 19, and the Lord, what he showed me from it, it just, sometimes when God speaks to me, the fear of the Lord will almost cause like a trembling on the inside of me. I could feel the weightiness of what God was calling us into. Guys, there's so much of a weight. Guys, we are going to bid farewell to the world. And I don't want to be relevant. I don't need to be relevant to the world. Guys, relevant is fire, Holy Spirit, signs, wonders, glory, Jesus. Like, that's what's relevant. And I believe we are going to bid the world bye, like goodbye, like more than ever. And that might mean people think we're nuts. Like, we don't, I found now more than ever, I'm detached. Like I'm just detached from what's, I'm not, I don't even want to, I don't even care. Like I believe one of the greatest distractions of the enemy this year was this election season in America. And I've never seen people more divided over things involving policies, coronavirus, mask, no mask. Should we open? Should we be closed? And I saw people get more distracted by what doesn't matter most this year. The enemy got our eye on what doesn't matter and took our eyes from gazing upon the one that does matter. And what you look upon will get in you, and what gets in you will come out of you. We have to, with an unveiled face, beholding as though in a mirror, the glory and the image of God. That tells me the Christian life is about beholding. What I look at, I begin to radiate. What I look at, I become. And what I stare at is synonymous with what it is that I believe. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, when Moses lifted up the bronze serpent on that staff in the wilderness, and all who looked upon it were healed. And he said he himself would be lifted up. And when we believe in him, we enter into newness of life. What I stare at is what I'm choosing to give myself to. It's almost the same as I believe. what I stare at is important, guys. And how we listen in this season is really, really important. John chapter 12, you have this this scene, this beautiful scene in chapter 12, verse 20. It says this. Then we're going to go to Exodus 19. I want to be aware of the time. There's a couple places I want to get to. But it says, now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Don't you love that? That's what we want. We want to see him. We want to behold him. We want him in our midst. Guys, it's not worth doing it if he's not there. If his presence isn't there, it's just not worth it. But then listen to these words. They're coming. We want to see Jesus. Now, Jesus is about to tell us how we get that, how our desire is fulfilled, how our question is answered. Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus, told him what? These Greeks are here and they said they want to see you. Listen to Jesus' response. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. This tells me a multitude of things, guys. The only way you and I are going to truly see, encounter, and experience Jesus is it's not just about coming to the cross. It's about getting on it. It's a self-denied life that says, I am not here for me. I am here for your image and your glory. It tells me that we were made to bear fruit. Now, it also tells me this. When you plant a seed in the ground, that shell has to crack. There needs to be a brokenness, guys. And until we are broken over our need for him, until we are broken over our lack in our life, until we are broken over the current level of glory and understanding we're walking in, until we are possessed with hunger and desperation, guys, I believe there's going to be a limitation in our life. God is wanting, guys, sometimes you know this, what's broken is beautiful. What's broken can be poured out upon him. That's why the woman with the alabaster box, it was so beautiful. She came. What was most precious to her, she came. I believe she bought that with a lifestyle of sin. Like there's people believe she was a prostitute. She may have used the money from prostitution to buy this perfume. And it's almost as if she's saying, you're so beautiful to me, Jesus. What I bought through sin, I am taking what was precious, what I bought, and I am pouring it out on you. I'm saying no to that old life and yes to you. And it was precious. It was worship. It was tears. It was wiping his feet with her hair. And there was a mixture of the tears, of the repentance and the beauty of worship. Isn't that amazing, guys? The tears of repentance, the beauty of worship collided and it filled, the fragrance filled the room. Guys, I want to bring him as much fruit at the end of the day. I want to stand before him and say, look what I brought to you. Not because I had to, not because it was legalistic, but because I was so in love. My obedience was plentiful. And I wanted to bring you as much honor and glory as I possibly could. He goes on to say, he who loves his life, guys, he who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life, guys, it doesn't say he who hates himself. It simply says, it simply means this. Are you at a place where you're just done with how it's been going? Are you tired of getting the same results? Are you tired of going in the same circle over and over and over again? Nothing seems to change. Now, this to me isn't just about the non-believer. It also speaks to us as believers, because there might be areas in our life that we're holding on to. Guys, there might be a situation we're in, like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he asks, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you just keep these commandments. And the guy says, I've done that since I was a kid, since I was a youth. It says Jesus looked at him with a love in his heart and he says, you have done those things. This one thing you still lack. Go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, did Jesus say that to everybody he encountered? Did Jesus say that to the woman at the well? Did Jesus say that to blind Bartimaeus? Did Jesus say that to the leper? Did Jesus say that to the woman caught in adultery? No. What Jesus was revealing to this man was ultimately what had his heart. In some ways, he was doing very Christian things. He was keeping all the commandments. but he was divided in his affection on the inside. In one instance, yes, Jesus, I love you. I'm following these commandments. But at the same time, there was a dualism in his heart. There was another idol that was there that didn't belong there. Jesus exposed it, and it said the man walked away sad. This is what God is after, guys. God is after the deep things inside of us. God is after our meditations, which are in our heart, what we meditate on, what we think upon. David said something along the lines of this: may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing to you. He was concerned about his thought life. Guys, your heart is the throne of your affection. It's the throne of your motivation. Why we do what we do is important. Why we post what we post. Why we say what we say. Why we're doing what it is that we're doing. Guys, God is getting down to, it's almost like a comb, like a fine-tooth comb. Sometimes combs have bigger gaps between the teeth, but it's almost like the gaps between the teeth are getting smaller. And God is getting rid of what cannot come along, guys, into this next season. Love of self cannot come along. Defending of self cannot come along. The only thing that's going to make it on this narrow road is denial of self. We want to see Jesus, okay? Well, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life will find it. In other words, are you tired of living for you? Are you tired of wanting your way? Are you tired of wanting to do it in your own strength? Are you ready to go lower than you've ever gone before? If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Guys, to follow Jesus means that we are actually called to live as he lived, to do what it is that he did, guys. And there's something that's required. Guys, we can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe not only is this the path to seeing Jesus, but it is also the path. Guys, the cross is the door to a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God is looking for people right now that are willing to abandon everything for his sake, that are willing to say no. Guys, he is after it all. He's after our time. He's after our money. He's after our thoughts. He's after our motives, guys. He wants it all consecrated, all handed over, all given over. Guys, the word consecrate means the essence of sin, guys, would be this: I reserve the right to run, to rule, to lead my life. Consecration says I deny that right, and I'm empowering you, Jesus, to not just be my savior, but to be Lord. I give you permission to tell me how it is. I give you permission to discipline me. I give you permission. Guys, the Bible says he scourges every son that he receives. And I'm also learning this, guys, like there is a righteousness, there's a holiness that gets performed inside of you when you give your life to the Lord. But then there's a relational holiness and righteousness that we have to live out, guys, that we walk out with him. And the more in love we are with him, that holiness becomes a love affair. When I am deeply in love with the Lord, there are things I do not allow into my life whatsoever. So if anyone wants to serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Hang on a second. Okay, good. I was just checking my phone here. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. All right, I want us to turn, guys, really quick to Exodus chapter 19. I told you I wanted to go there. Here's what I believe, guys, the Lord is wanting to do tonight. Let me just make sure. Okay, good. Let me just make sure that they don't need me in any way. It seems like everything is still okay. This is what I believe, guys. I believe for those of us that are willing to say tonight, God, I want you to take all of me. I want to be a consecrated vessel fit for use. Think about it, guys. When they dedicated the temple of Solomon, what filled the temple? Glory. Glory filled the temple, guys. There were 120 priests there blowing trumpets. There was worship that was happening. There's 120 that are in an upper room. Guys, it mirrors, guys, now that we've become the temple, but there's a greater level of glory that God is wanting us to carry. Guys, there's a greater outpouring of his spirit that's coming that's going to require a greater denial of self than any ever before, okay? So here's the deal. Exodus 19, God brings Israel out of Egypt for one reason and one reason alone, to bring them to himself. Before God will ever bring you to your destiny, before he brings you to your calling, he wants to know, do you want him? Do you want him to be your God? Are you willing to be his people? So he brings them out through his mighty arm. He performs these miracles, these plagues that take place. And finally, Pharaoh says, just go. He brings them out. Now, you guys need to know, these are types. These are shadows of things that point to New Testament realities. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10 that Israel was baptized into Moses, baptized into the sea, and baptized into the cloud. Guys, 1 Corinthians 12 says the Holy Spirit baptizes us into one body. It's the Holy Spirit that causes us to be born again. He's the one who causes the birth from above to become a reality in our life. Jesus told Nicodemus, lest you're born from above, it's by the Spirit that that happens. That's like being baptized into Moses. Moses was their deliverer. Jesus is our deliverer from sin. It says they were baptized into the sea. The Red Sea parts, Israel goes through, Egypt gets swallowed up. That is symbolic of water baptism, guys. Itself, it's saying, I am no longer living for me. I am presenting the members of my bodies as slaves to righteousness, no longer slaves to sin. I'm identifying in Christ's death. I'm going in that watery grave. I'm coming up a new creation. I'm coming up in the likeness of his resurrection. And then, of course, the baptism in the cloud is symbolic of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. All of the scripture, Jesus said, is about me. All of it testifies about me. So when we're reading this story, it's about the Lord. It's about what you and I now get to partake of in the new covenant. It says in Exodus 19, verse 3, Moses went up to God and the Lord called to him from the mountain saying, thus see, God is, guys, I'm telling you, God is calling us up this mountain. There is a mountain that the Lord is wanting us to climb. It says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy presence? We're going to talk about this in a minute. He who has clean hands, a pure heart, who doesn't lift his soul up to falsehood, and who doesn't live or act deceitfully. Guys, that means it's important that how you and I live. Whenever you read about hands, it speaks of the outside. It speaks of a life potentially of sin, what we do with our hands. When we read about the heart, it speaks of our inner reality. But we also know nothing comes out of the man but through the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Guard your heart above everything else, for out of it flows the issues of life. Everything in our life comes from here. And what we allow in here is really important. This is why consecration is really important. Guys, it's time to say no to the distractions. It's time to put them away, guys. It's time to put away anything that's taking us from the conscious awareness of his presence and what he's asking of us right now in this hour. It's important that we live with integrity. It's important, guys, that we're not deceitful, that how we speak, that we're not even telling little fibs, white lies, exaggerating, guys, like put all the unwholesome talk away. Don't say one thing and then live another thing. Don't be a hypocrite. Like, it's so important right now that for us to carry this glory that's coming, that we are ready. Sometimes, guys, we major so much in the grace camp that we de-emphasize our responsibility. There's a reality that we're supposed to lay aside the sin that so easily wants to entangle us. Paul wrote to Timothy saying, if you are the Lord's, if you belong to him, you've got to shun and get away from evil. Like it doesn't say that the Lord will do that for you. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because God's at work in you. There is the reality of walking in the fear of the Lord, of understanding God, who God is, what he's doing in me, causes me to respond to him in a certain way. And I believe this next move of the Lord is going to carry a lot of the fear of God. So he goes up on this mountain saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among the peoples, for all the earth is mine. Isn't that beautiful, guys? His own possession. He is wanting them to simply hear his voice and obey. This was the plan. Relationship has always been the plan, but there is something Israel has to do before God comes, guys. Now you need to know this is Israel's Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. This is 50 days after their Passover in Egypt and their wandering in the wilderness. Guys, it was 50 days. Christ is our Passover. It was 50 days after he was crucified on Passover. It was 50 days after that, because it says in Acts chapter 1, for 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples, teaching them about the kingdom of God, gave them orders by the Holy Spirit. Okay. So that tells me for 40 days, through many convincing proofs, guys, Jesus is showing up. He's resurrected from the dead. He's teaching them about the kingdom. And then you know the story. He says, but wait in Jerusalem till you receive what was promised by the Father. You heard John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And we call that Pentecost. Guys, none of this is by accident. Something was happening in that upper room for 10 days. And I believe it had to do with it proved and validated their consecration, their willingness to obey, their willingness to dedicate themselves fully. I don't even know if they knew what they were waiting for. I don't even know if Israel realized what they were preparing themselves for. When Moses comes to them, now listen to this, in Exodus 19, in verse 9, it says, the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud so that the people may hear when I speak with you. And you may, so that they may believe in you forever. Then Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. The Lord also said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. That's 2 days. And let them wash their garments. Guys, you can't, those 2 days are intentional. I believe as they're washing their garments, which is symbolic, guys, of dealing with whatever we need to deal with in our life that doesn't belong there. They got brought out of Egypt. Now they've got to get Egypt out of them. Like, it's not about being brought out of sin and wanting to continue to do it. Guys, that doesn't add up. That's not the Christian life. There's something about this intentional act of 2 days where I believe their mind and their heart would have been involved. They would have been thinking about what it was that they were doing, guys. And I believe the Lord is wanting us right now in this hour to consider the greater cost he's asking us to pay. Why does he tell them, consecrate yourself for 2 days, wash your garments, okay? Which is symbolic here in a minute when we go to James chapter 4, verse 8. But this is what it says in verse 11, and let them be ready. I read that verse in that chair a few weeks ago, and it stopped me dead in my tracks. And that is what the Lord is asking of us right now, guys. Let them be ready. Be ready for what? On the third day, I'm coming down on that mountain. Have them be ready, because consecration always precedes visitation. When we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, what we're ultimately saying is, I reserve no right to myself. I give you all of me. Guys, here's a question. If you knew that the Lord was coming, and I'm not just talking about Jesus' return, if you knew this greater glory, this greater baptism of the Spirit was coming in 3 days, what would you do? How would you position yourself? Here's the deal, guys. They are free. They were consecrated to Egyptian bondage in the same way that we were bound in sin, consecrated, if you will, to sin. Jesus makes us free. Paul says, like, it's for freedom's sake that Christ made you free, Galatians 5:1. He later says in Galatians 5, don't use your freedom as an occasion for the flesh. Don't go on sinning now that you've been made free, but you can if you want to. Like, Paul says, hey, all things are permissible, not all things are lawful, he says, I believe, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So even those things that were at one point in time in your previous season permissible, maybe they're not going to be. Maybe the Lord won't have you. Like, and I'm not talking about getting super religious, guys. I'm just talking about the Lord is going to reveal to us the branches that he's lopping, the things that he's taking care of. But there might be things that the Lord is telling us that needs to stop. That needs to go away. I want you prepared for this next level of glory when it comes. I'm coming on the third day. What would you do if you knew without a shadow of a doubt in the next 2 or 3 days God was coming. Is your heart, is your mind ready? Are your hands clean? Is your heart pure? Let's look at James chapter 4 really quick. We might hit one other spot, but this might be it. And then we might just go into praying here in a minute. I believe, guys, there is only one thing that's acceptable to the Lord. And Romans 12 makes it abundantly clear. Because of his mercies, it says. In other words, because Jesus hasn't dealt with us according to our sin, because we didn't get what we deserve, that's mercy. Because of his great mercies, we ought to present ourselves a living, that means this, there is no life outside of self-denial. There is no life outside of getting on that altar, guys. And as a living and holy, set apart, sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. This is what the Lord is looking for right now. The Lord is looking for worshipers, guys. That's what he told the woman at the well. The Lord is wanting to marry worship and labor together. They are one in the same. Servitude to God, service to God, self-denial. God, have all of me, possess me because I want to live for you, is worship before him. It's not just the sacrifice, the fruit of my mouth. It's not just me singing songs. You can sing songs and your heart can be a million miles away from him. He told the Pharisees, I can be on your lips and your heart can be, Isaiah prophesied that I'm on your lips, but your heart is a million miles away. Your heart is far from me. God is looking for people that are willing to get on that altar and never get up again. The last thing we need to do, guys, is get on that altar and say, sorry, just kidding, 7 days later and pick our life back up. I minister to kids all the time. I minister to teenagers. It's the joy, the privilege of my heart. I love to travel to different youth groups and churches and minister. And I look them in the eyes and I say, guys, it means nothing to me that you go to youth group. It means nothing to me that your families are Christians. It means nothing to me that you go to church. That doesn't tell me that God has your whole heart. That doesn't tell me your life is fully surrendered. You can do Christian things like the rich young ruler and still God doesn't have all of you. When we are divided in our affection, when we are divided in where we give our focus, our attention, that is when our heart is impure. And I'll show it to you here in a moment. James chapter 4, verse 8. And God is after wanting. Guys, David said, unite my heart, God, to fear your name. In other words, I don't want my heart to be going here and another part going here. I want it all to be united all together over this one thing, that I fear you, that I love you. And you guys know this. David was the one. Seven of his brothers came out before Samuel. David was the one because God looked upon his heart. The posture of our heart matters in this hour, guys. Does God have all of you? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, it says. Mind, soul, strength. Where does your thoughts go? Whom do you think upon? What do you think about? Where do you give your strength? Where is your toil? Where is your labor? What has you on the inside when you wake up, when you go to bed, when you're alone? Where does your heart go? Who is it that you want? What is it that you want? Because James says this in chapter 4, verse 8. It says, draw near to God. That's what they did, guys, at Mount Sinai. They were drawing near to him. Consecrate yourself. 2 days, wash your garments, because on the third day I am coming. Make yourself ready. God's not going to do it for you. But out of fear, out of reverence, out of awe, out of love, we will be those. Guys, think with me for a second. Those of you that are married, those of you that are husbands, did you make your wife ready on her wedding day? Did you say, sorry, honey, I know how to do your makeup better than you? Did you say, I can do your hair? Absolutely not. You did not. They made themselves ready. And the women will go through great lengths, guys. Like, they will stop eating just to fit into that wedding dress because it is such an important day to them that they're willing to do whatever it takes because of the one that's waiting for them down at the end of the aisle. It's the same thing, guys. As the bride of Christ, will we be made a bride? Will we be a bride made ready without spot, wrinkle, or blemish? Jesus did something wonderful on the inside. What are you doing with it now outwardly? Cleanse your hands, purify your heart, deal with your outer life, and deal with your inner life. Draw near to God, James 4:8, and he will draw near to you. And I believe this is the way that we draw near. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Are there things in your life that you know you're doing that you shouldn't be doing? And guys, God's getting really nitty gritty. Like, what about, like, I mean, we're going to read here about the heart too in here just a second. Like, what about things like gossip? What about things like the anger, like, that's in the heart? What about judgment? What about criticism? Like, that was something too. People in this election season, like, we're looking at the people they disagreed with, making these judgments, you know, villainizing them. And the very thing they were judging was, like, the very thing that was happening in them was just as hideous and just as vile to the Lord as what they were calling out and pointing out and saying, that's wrong. What happens in our heart is a big deal to God, guys. Like, it's a huge deal because it all starts in there. I'm not just, sometimes we think about cleanse your hands. We think about the big sins. We think about adultery. We think about pornography. We think about, you know, lust. We think about stealing. We think about murder. We think about, what about jealousy? What about envy? What about not being able to celebrate when somebody else gets the attention and you don't? Somebody else gets the credit and you don't. Somebody else gets preferred, but you're not. Somebody else gets asked to do something, but you don't. Somebody else is whatever, and there you sit. What about that? What about when that stuff comes up? How do you deal with that? What do you do with it? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. How do you do that? It's repentance. It's, oh my gosh, what am I thinking? Like, I'm changing my mind. I wasn't made for that. Like, I don't want that in my life. I don't want a wedge. I don't want my conscience violated. I don't want there to be a reason why I don't have confidence before the Lord. You repent, you change your mind about it. And then because you can't turn away from it until you turn your mind, or you change your mind. But when you change your mind, now you can turn, you can do an about face turn and walk away from it. Purify. Watch this, your hearts, you double-minded. When we are double-minded, when our affection is divided, when our focus is divided, when our priorities are divided, our heart's impure. We think of purity in regards to, like, relations with one another, physical things, sexual things. It's more than that. You know what purity of heart is? When your heart is about one thing and one thing alone. And I think the Holy Spirit saw that with David, because David was the one who said, one thing I ask, that will I seek, that I might behold your glory, that I might see your beauty, and gaze upon you in your temple all the time, guys. And when the heart cry of the father was, seek my face, it was David who said in the same psalm, your face, O Lord, I will seek. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. How do you purify your heart? I believe it's what Jeremy Riddle has said recently. I believe we purify our heart with fresh surrender. I believe we come before the Lord and say, God, my heart's been divided. I've let other lesser lovers in that don't belong. I've allowed things to matter more that don't matter most. I allowed myself to be distracted. I got wrapped up. I tell my people here in the United States, if you know more about the news than you do about this book, guys, something's out of balance. And I've never seen anything. Guys, the enemy, I hate to give him credit. He did a wonderful job this year. He got people in the United States to be more concerned. Guys, I wept on stage. I cried on stage when I read that. When a man, I'm not going to go into the details of it, but a young man cried out one day, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? I said, guys, I care more about that than I do who my next president is going to be. I just do. And I believe that the enemy got America to be more concerned about an election than an outpouring of the Spirit. And if you want me to be honest with you, I think we missed it in a lot of ways. I think we're seeing the fallacy of Christian celebrity right now. I think we're seeing people who elevated the words of prophets over the inerrant, infallible word of God. I see people's hearts failing right now, which tells me their hope was in the wrong place. We've let go of things that simply says God is the one who appoints people in places of authority. And guys, like, the truth of the matter is, like, I'm not saying elections aren't important. I voted, but at the end of the day, that's not changing. Like, what I'm going after, I want to bid that stuff so farewell and so goodbye. I want to be absolutely consumed with the kingdom of God, absolutely possessed with the person of the Holy Spirit. I want the things that I read in the scriptures to be true in my own life. Just recently, and I'll end with this, then we'll pray. Just recently, I had the privilege of ministering to a youth group, and we took a good look at Isaiah chapter 6. Where he's ruined. Isaiah's ruined. He's prophesying for five chapters. And I love it because it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, guys, a lot can happen in a year, and a lot happened this past year. Guys, like, sometimes I also think things happen. If they didn't happen the way they happened, we wouldn't see the need that we have in our life for the Lord. I'm not saying he causes it all, but I just believe that there are things that sometimes need to happen in order for us to see what it is we need to see. King Uzziah was a wonderful king. He did wonderful things in the southern kingdom of Israel in Judah. But then it says when he got strong, pride came in his heart. And because of that, he did something that he wasn't supposed to do, that God didn't ask him to do, and he died in his pride. But when pride was removed, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, Isaiah says. And this is what it says. It goes on, talks about the seraphim and different things calling out, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah becomes aware of the fact that even though he's prophesying, when you see the genuine glory of God that carries the fear of the Lord, it's like a mirror. It shows you what still needs purified in your life. And he says, woe is me, I'm ruined. I'm ruined. I come from a people of unclean lips. My lips are unclean, and I come from a people of unclean lips. And because his response was humble, the angel of the Lord took that coal off that altar and touched it to his lips. He said, your iniquity is forgiven you. And then when Father, Son, Holy Spirit say, who will go for us? Who will go that we could send? And Isaiah says, what, here I am, send me. That's consecration, guys. That's saying, like, I'm ruined. My shell is broken. I'm broken so that fruit might come out. I'm planted into the ground. I'm a seed planted, and I want to bring you as much honor and glory as I can. Who will go for us? Here I am, send me. And I said to those students, I said, guys, if that's in your heart, the fire of the Lord is going to come and touch you, because fire falls on sacrifice. I want to read Romans chapter 12. I quoted it earlier. I want to read it again, and then we're going to pray. I believe fire wants to fall, guys. I believe even now, some of you might be even feeling it in your hands. I believe some of you, I just felt it on my head. I believe some of you might be feeling warmth. There's heat. There's like a fire, like a ring right here over the top of your head. Romans chapter 12, listen to this. Verse 1, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. In other words, it's his mercy that should be our motivation. To present your bodies. Guys, that's the totality of a person, their bodies, a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. That's the one thing that's acceptable to him. Who will go for us? Here I am, send me, which is your spiritual service of worship. So here's the question. Who's willing to get on that altar and not get up? Who's willing to say, I'll be a vessel prepared. I'll be the one who will consecrate him or herself. I'll wash my garments if necessary. I'll cleanse my hands. I'll purify my heart. I'll surrender to you again, God. I'll surrender anew. Fresh surrender to the Lord. Total consecration, because the vessel has to be prepared for the glory to come, for the glory to be poured out, for us to be carriers of glory. And I believe the world is hungry for what the Lord wants to pour out, but he's looking for people that can carry it. He's looking for self-denial. He's looking for people who will consecrate themselves. Let them be ready. Guys, it's time to get ready. Come on. If you want what I'm talking about, if what I said resonates with you in any way, if it's causing your heart to beat, guys, at wherever you are, if you want to get on your knees, if you want to put your hands up in the air as a sign of surrender, I just want to pray right now for tangible fire to come upon you guys, because it was fire that came down on that mountain in Mount Sinai. God came in thunder, flashes of lightning and smoke. The fire, it's the fire of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of burning, Isaiah 4 calls him. Jesus, John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me that's greater than me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I believe that in this season and in this hour, the Lord is releasing fire upon those. He is burning out in the same way that the angel took the coal and pressed it upon Isaiah's lips. There's a burning, guys, that's taking place. Impurities being burned out as we consecrate ourselves to the Lord and draw closer. So, Father, I thank you for this word. If what I said is true, then I pray that your presence would come upon them, God, would accompany this word right now. I'm not interested in just preaching a sermon. I want to say what it is you're saying. Holy Spirit, we welcome you right now in Jesus' name. And I think it'll be good, guys, here in a moment, if we can go back into worship, if the worship team wants to get ready and lead us into worship, into surrender. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, over whoever's watching online, over everyone gathered at the prayer house in Voss, over those that are gathered in Bergen, let there be a burning come. Guys, my one of the students, when I did this with them last Friday, they said they could smell a burning in the room. Not that something was on fire, but you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you can just smell when something is burning. It wasn't an unpleasant smell. It was a pleasant smell that something was hot, that sometimes you can smell the heat. You know what I mean? So Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you pour out fire upon those right now whose hearts belong to you, those who are surrendering their life in total abandonment to you, those who are willing to be consecrated to you, you alone. Lord, fire of God in the name of Jesus right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, we pray for the fire of the Lord to possess us. We pray to be people possessed with the Holy Spirit, enamored with the face of Jesus, laid down lovers, a bride made ready, a glory being poured out upon the ones that are saying, I will do it. I will be a willing vessel. I will be one who consecrates themselves wholly unto the Lord, that I might be possessed with all that he is. He can have all of me as long as I get to have all of him. So Holy Spirit, I pray right now in Jesus' name that your fire would come. God, put it in their hands, put it on their head, put it in their feet, put it in the feet of those that are willing to go like Isaiah. Put it on their tongue, God. Purify our mouths where there needs to be a purity, that there be no unwholesome word that proceeds from our mouth. Lord, I ask and pray that you fall upon the sacrifice of a life laid down right now, a Romans 12, verse 1 life right now, a living and holy sacrifice. Let fire fall upon them tonight, God, in Jesus' name. Let it bring a confirmation. Let it be a stamp and a seal. Let it be a sign that you're moving, that you're honoring consecration and you're honoring surrender. Guys, it is time that we completely surrender, totally dedicate ourselves, totally consecrate ourselves in abandonment to God. Let your fire come, Lord Jesus. We love you. We honor you. We thank you for everything you're doing tonight. Let our surrender run deeper. Let our abandonment run deeper. May we become ruined for you and your face and your presence and your glory. Receive our surrender and let it be met with fire in Jesus' name. Amen.